All right, let's turn in our Bibles tonight, if you would, to Psalm 87. Psalm 87 for our study tonight. And as you're turning, I'll say one of the blessings of a hailstorm is that there is not, I don't believe there's one single locust blossom left on the trees. Hallelujah. And so soon my body will hopefully recover from the allergy season that we've just gone through. But we're thankful for that. Psalm 87 tonight, and this is a short psalm, which is a song about the city of Jerusalem. Like you and I have songs that we sing about our country, and we sing about our flag, and we sing about the blessings of God upon our land. So the nation of Israel had some special songs that they sang about their nation and about the city that was the capital of their nation, the city of Jerusalem. In Psalm 87, we find a reminder of the importance of that great city of Jerusalem in the plan of God. And the whole psalm is really a celebration about God's purposes for Jerusalem and the privilege of being a part of that plan. Now, the psalm, you'll see in a moment as we read, has a specific application to the city of Jerusalem and to the Hebrew people. And there is also a prophetic element that relates to God's purpose for the city of Jerusalem during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe even further, there is a spiritual application for you and I tonight. Many of us would say we do not identify as Hebrew people according to our birth. And yet there is a spiritual application of Psalm 87 to us, those who are privileged to be the worshipers of God and partakers of the covenant by the grace of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look at Psalm 87 tonight. We're going to read this short psalm, just seven verses. The Bible says, "His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he rideth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee." Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for your plan, and we're thankful, Father, for the emphasis that is in the word of God on the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel. And we pray tonight that you would help us to be instructed from your word, encouraged by your word, that we might leave here rejoicing in the purpose and the plan of God. I pray that you would meet with us and speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that you would be present here in this place. And I pray that we would know this evening when we've left that we have met with you. Thank you for the privilege of assembling together. We pray for our brethren who are not able to be with us tonight. We pray you'd watch over each one and bring us back again together to fellowship on Sunday. We thank you for your goodness, and we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. The city of God is the city of Jerusalem. And certainly the city of Jerusalem is a remarkable city in all the world. We're going to talk a little bit about the remarkable nature of that city. Now, my initial thought when I read Psalm 87, and maybe you have the same thought, is what does that have to do with me? I don't live in Jerusalem, to be honest with you. I don't ever plan to move to Jerusalem and be a missionary. I don't think I'm going to live there. Sometimes people ask me, are you planning to go to the Holy Land and go visit the land of Israel? And to be honest with you, I don't think so. Not planning to make any trips there. Maybe one day I'll go, but at this point I have no plans to. But you know what? To you and I as the people of God, the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem is incredibly significant. Amen. Because all the promises of God which ultimately impact you and I, are centered around this remarkable city. And God makes many references in His Word to the importance of the city of Jerusalem. We think about this city, and it's remarkable in the sense that God gave it to the nation of Israel. And God established them there in that place. Now, thousands of years later, the nation of Israel still inhabits the city of Jerusalem. To me, that's actually remarkable. How many nations are like the nation of Israel that seem to have been scattered all over the face of the known earth without a country to call their own, and then suddenly that country is returned to them, and today there's mass migration of Hebrew people from all over the world back to the land of Israel and to the city of Jerusalem. And so we see something in Psalm 87 about the importance of this city. And I believe also we find some application to you and to me this evening concerning the promises of God. In the first three verses, I want you to note the glory of Jerusalem. The glory of Jerusalem is brought to our attention in these first three verses. And the first verse is really like an exclamation. And now, when you think of a song, most songs tend to start kind of slow, and then they build to a climax. And the climax is usually towards the end of the song in the chorus. But in this psalm, there's actually a climax right in the beginning, right in the very first verse. It's like the psalmist and all the people who are going to sing, and this was a song written for public worship in the temple and around the temple. It's like they break into song singing, "His foundation is in the holy mountains." They're making this exclamation. Note the foundation of Zion. And I want you to think for just a moment about what a unique city Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is called in the Bible the center of the world. When God speaks about the world, He calls Jerusalem the very center of His plan, the center of, if you will, the geographical center of the world. Now, that's remarkable because Jerusalem is not really geographically that appealing of a place. When we think about the city of Jerusalem, there's no physical reason why Jerusalem would be the center of the world. For instance, it's not really located on any major trade routes. It is the disputed capital of a very small country. Do you remember what happened just a few months ago when our president said that we would move the United States embassy to the city of Jerusalem? And how the world, in that region of the world, how they responded and they got angry because we would dare to move our embassy to what Israel says is their capital city. And of course, part of the reason for that is because the city is divided between the Muslim quarter and the Israelite side of the city. And so there's all kinds of wrangling. But the nation of Israel is a very small country. There's not that many people who live there, really. It's a disputed capital. And we would say, what is it that's so important about the city of Jerusalem? The city of Jerusalem is not on a coast. Most important cities are located on a coast because of trade. And so we say, how could Jerusalem be such an important city? And I say all that to make this point. It is all God's design. Amen. It is God who has made Jerusalem important. And we see here in verse number 1, He speaks about the foundation being in the holy mountains. That idea of in the holy mountains reminds us that Jerusalem is a high city. In the geography of the Holy Land, Jerusalem sits above the area around it. And there in that place, it is representative of the worship of Jehovah. It is indeed a holy city. And that word holy means set apart or distinct or unique, separated. Jerusalem is unique among all the cities of the world. Now we're told, as we think about the holy mountains, we're told that Jerusalem is actually built upon five mountains. The city of Jerusalem spills across those five mountains, and then all around is the lower area of the plains, and not far away is the Dead Sea, which is below sea level. Jerusalem as a city is exalted above the surrounding countryside. And that reminds us, because Jerusalem is the center of the worship of God, that the worship of God is an exalted worship. There are many gods that people worship, but there is no God like the God Jehovah. There is no worship like the worship of the God that we worship. And we can be thankful that our God in His city is exalted. We know that Jehovah is above all others. Amen. Also in verse 1, I note the word foundation. His foundation is in the holy mountains. And that word foundation refers to something that is secure, something that is built strong to withstand the test of time. When we want to build a house to withstand difficulty, we build it on a foundation. Some years ago, we were in the country of Chile in South America, and we were doing a little construction project while we were there. And it is not the custom of many of the people there, when they build a simple house, to use a foundation. They simply maybe dig a little hole and set the timbers just a little bit under the surface, or they just set it right on top of the ground, and then they build their structure. And you can imagine what happens over a course of time to that structure as things begin to settle and as the rains wash some of the dirt away. And that's exactly why we were making the repair, because there was no foundation. I remember remarking at that time, and some of the men who were there working with us, about how disappointing it was that they didn't build upon a foundation. And yet, there is a reminder for us that there is a foundation in the city of Jerusalem. The idea is that there is an enduring legacy that is there. The city of Jerusalem will continue on. I say this tonight, there is no physical reason why the city of Jerusalem should still exist in the way that it does today. It is simply the work of God. It is simply that God has a plan for that city. God has promised to keep that city, and it will be an enduring city. And of course, we understand that that city will not endure forever as it is now, because one day our God is going to make a new Jerusalem, and He's going to establish that with a great foundation. And so He says there, His foundation is in the holy mountains. Then in verse 2, He makes this statement, "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." As we think about the gates of Zion, the place where you would enter in to the city of Jerusalem, He makes this statement. He says that God, Jehovah God, loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, even more than all the cities of Israel, all the places where the people may live in the nation of Israel. Among them, the city of Jerusalem has a very special place in God's plan and in God's purpose. God has a special idea about the nation of Israel, but particularly about the city of Jerusalem. And I believe that's because it is the place where is centered the worship of God. It is the place where, during the time that this psalmist wrote, that God evidenced His glory visibly to the people in the house of God, in the temple. It is a place where God was worshiped. And we see here that God loves the city of Jerusalem. You know, as God's people, as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I ought to love the city of Jerusalem. Amen. We ought to love the plan of God for that city. Jehovah has a special love and a special plan for the city of Jerusalem, and we ought to be reminded of that. He goes on in verse number 3 and says, "Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." That may remind you of a hymn which is based on this verse. "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city from our God." And that particular hymn about the city of Jerusalem was written some years ago. But we see that glorious things are spoken of the city of God, Jerusalem. And so we see, as we consider the glory of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem has a glorious future. God says that there is something in store for the city of Jerusalem. There is something in its future. Now today, the city of Jerusalem is indeed a remarkable city, but it's a contested city. Today, if you were to go to the city of Jerusalem, there's some danger. Today, the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, have said they will never surrender the nation of the city of Jerusalem again. They'll never give it up. And yet we know in the end times there's going to come some turmoil in the city of Jerusalem. There's going to come some desolation in that rebuilt temple that will be there in Jerusalem. We know that there's some things that are going to take place that the people of Israel who are not worshipers of Jehovah today could not possibly anticipate. And yet despite that turmoil and despite that difficulty, God has a glorious future for this remarkable city. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. When we think about the glorious future of this city of God, where God has put his glory, we're reminded that God has a glorious purpose for the city of Jerusalem. Literally, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign from his throne there in the city of Jerusalem. He's going to set up a literal, physical kingdom, and that will be based in the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years, a time of peace upon this earth like we have never known since man fell in the Garden of Eden, and we will see what God can do in this world. And what a marvelous thing. And I said, we will see, because you and I will be privileged to be there, to see what is going on. What a wonderful thought that is, to think that we're going to be able to be a part of all that God is doing. And so we think about the glory of Jerusalem. By the way, when we think about the glory of Jerusalem, this is not just a glory that belongs to the nation of Israel. It's not just a glory that belongs to the Hebrew people, but it is a glory which you and I will be privileged to enter into as participants in the covenant of God by faith. As we think about the privilege that we have, and Romans chapter 9 talks about this, about being grafted in. Those of us who were not called after the covenants are grafted in by faith when we believed on Jesus Christ, and we become recipients of the goodness of God. What a privilege this is to us. And this is why the city of Jerusalem ought to have some importance to you and I tonight. So we see the glory of Jerusalem. And second of all, we see the privilege of Jerusalem. A note there in verse number 4, the privilege of Jerusalem. He says this, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. So in verse 4, we find a list of some important places and their inhabitants. Rahab is usually referring to the nation of Egypt. And certainly Egypt is a great nation in the history of the world. In fact, as we look back over the epochs of time, we understand that Egyptian history has played a major role in the development of world history. Egypt was a great kingdom for many years, and in fact still is an important country in this world. And he speaks about Rahab and those who are citizens there. He speaks about Babylon. And we know about Babylon and the importance of that great city, Babylon, and the nation of Babylon, which was a great world power. That particular city and kingdom offered tremendous privileges to its citizens. During the hundreds of years that Babylon was established as a kingdom, and that they were very powerful, and of course we know that there was an ascendancy, there was a time of growth of the Babylonian Empire. The nation of Judah was taken into captivity towards the end of that time, and they reached a great pinnacle, and they had great wealth and great power. Their stretch or their authority went all over the known world. And certainly those who were citizens of the city of Babylon had some tremendous privileges. You would think that someone who is a citizen of the city of Babylon and someone who is privileged in that way would be very proud of the privileges that they enjoyed. We think about, then he goes on to mention Philistia. And you know that Philistia was a nation not far from the nation of Israel. In fact, they were the oppressors of Israel for many years. They were their arch enemy for a long time until David finally brought victory. Of course, it was the hand of the Lord that delivered them, but David was the one that God used. And Philistia could boast of its mighty men, of its giants, of Goliath. And those who were valiant in warfare, and certainly Philistia was a great nation, and those who were members of the nation of Philistia had a reason for pride. Tyre was a city and a kingdom not far from the nation of Israel up on the Mediterranean Sea, and Tyre was a center of commerce and wealth. It was in the city of Tyre that the ships would come from all over what was then the known world, and trade would come through that important city. It was a very wealthy place, and the citizens of Tyre enjoyed access to the finest things that the world could offer. Finally, he speaks about Ethiopia, and Ethiopia was a far-off empire off to the south of the nation of Israel, and Ethiopia was known for its power and its blessed situation. And to those who spoke about Ethiopia spoke about some of the opulence of that place. And we think about these areas and the citizens who were in those places. And I want to say this, that everywhere I've been, people have a sense of nationalistic pride. They're grateful for the place where they live often, and they appreciate the privileges that they enjoy. We could equate this today to our privilege as citizens of the United States of America. And we are privileged as a people, are we not?
Amen.
I believe, and I've traveled all over the world, I'm very thankful to live in the United States of America. I'm very thankful to be a citizen of this country. I recognize tonight that our country has many faults and many things that are not quite right, but I will also be quick to say there's no other place that I'd rather live in the world. I'm very thankful to be a citizen of this great country. I'm very thankful to enjoy the freedoms that I have. And in some ways, I'm proud to be an American. Brother Morrison said something about this when he was here on Sunday. But you know, it does something when you've been abroad for a long time, and then you go somewhere, maybe to buy an embassy, one of our embassies in a foreign country, and you see our flag flying, and you think, that's my flag. That represents my country. I remember at times being in foreign countries and seeing a group of Marines go running by. And Marines are often stationed in the embassy or around the embassy. And you'll see a group of Marines running by, and they'll be displaying our colors and displaying different parts of their uniforms, and think, they represent my country. And there's a little bit of pride that goes along with that, and appreciation. Many today rejoice in the privilege of their national citizenship. That's what he's speaking about in verse number 4. You and I can be thankful for the privilege that it is to be citizens of the great country that we are citizens of, and all that comes through that citizenship. But then he says this in verse 5, and of Zion it shall be said. Now you note that in verse 4, he speaks about those countries, and he says, this man was born there. They had a claim of citizenship in that place. In verse 5, he says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Do you know Zion has a citizenship? And this is an intriguing verse, because the language, which is poetic without a doubt, and it's somewhat confusing, but I believe what it's saying, we'll get to the bottom of that in just a moment. It's different, because in verse 4, he says, this man was born there. But in verse 5, he says, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. Now, some people believe that the psalmist is driving at this thought in verse 5, that it is possible for a person to have national citizenship in one of these five places, and yet for them to have citizenship in Zion. And that is an amazing thought to think about, and I want you to pause for just a moment and think tonight, and I think many of us would say, I'm thankful to be an American, but you know what I'm thankful for much more than being an American? I'm thankful that I have citizenship in another country. I'm thankful that I have a heavenly country that I'm looking forward to. This world does not hold much for me because I'm looking forward to a different citizenship. There are many nations whose citizens can boast in their birth, but it is a greater privilege to be a citizen of Zion. And I believe there's a literal application in verse number 5 to those who are physically born as recipients of the covenant that was made with Abraham and the covenant that was made with Moses and the covenant that was made with David. The Hebrew people are distinctly privileged and blessed by God. And they are a persecuted people. They've been through many difficulties throughout the epochs of history, and yet we look at them and we say they are blessed people. Even today, those Hebrew people who are not even worshipers of Jesus Christ, and yet God has blessed them in remarkable ways. God has given them His blessing in many different ways. And we think about how God has blessed the nation of Israel, but I think about also how God has privileged you and I to be partakers of that blessing. Romans chapter 4 speaks about this, about how Abraham entered into the promise of God by faith. And then Paul later on makes the application that you and I likewise have the opportunity to enter into the promises of God by believing the promises of God, by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an opportunity to have a different citizenship. Do you know, I'm thankful that Abraham, it was said of Abraham, he sought a city whose builder and maker was God. He sought a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. What was that city? That's the city of Zion. Remember verse 1? The foundations are set. They're in the holy mountains. It's the city, and it's not the physical city of Jerusalem that we see today. It's the city that God has promised, that He has prepared, that one day will be the perfect fulfillment of all of His promises, that new Jerusalem. So there's a great pride of birth that is found in those who are citizens and inhabitants of Jerusalem there in verse number 5. Notice what he says in verse 5. The highest himself shall establish her. Who will establish the citizenship of the city of Jerusalem? It is the highest. It is God himself who has the authority to do that. And we can be thankful that he's the one who keeps the records. Verse 6, he says, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Notice God's counting. Do you know God knows those who are born in Zion? God is keeping track of those who have citizenship in that place. What a privilege it would be physically to be a citizen of Jerusalem. And yet, I don't believe that that is the full implication of verse number 6. I believe that what God has in mind here is a spiritual privilege. More than just the physical birthplace, God has in mind a spiritual privilege. And what a blessing it is to know that God counts those who have believed on Jesus Christ as recipients of God's promises by faith. Aren't you thankful that God is keeping the record? I wonder tonight if God has said about you, that man was born there. Now, I thought about that. And certainly there's a marvelous truth about physical birth. But then I thought about spiritual birth. And spiritual birth, where does spiritual birth take place? Does it not take place at the foot of the cross? Amen. And was not the cross just outside the city of Zion? Good. On that hill? Was it not there that if you've been born again, if you've been saved by the Spirit of God, was it not there at the cross of Christ that your citizenship was established, that your place in the city of God was secured, that your place in God's plan for the future was set apart? Was it not there that God wrote your name and said, this man was born there? You know, I think about that. What a marvelous truth tonight. And yet I wonder, was your name written there? Has God said about you, his name, this man was born there? Verse number 7 is the conclusion of the psalm. And it ends with a celebration. The rejoicing in Jerusalem. Verse 7. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. The rejoicing in Jerusalem. It's a musical celebration, isn't it? He speaks about singers and players on instruments. Now, I like a cappella singing for variety once in a while. But I also like instruments. Isn't it nice to be able to be accompanied by instruments and to sing songs of rejoicing to God? Especially if you're a little bit off key and it can help to cover up some of your joyful noise. Help you to stay on track. As well the singers as the players on instruments. And you know, I like listening to instruments, but I like hearing voices mingling with the instruments. But see, the occasion of this particular musical celebration is a very special occasion. It is a celebration. It is a worship of God. It is a rejoicing in the fact that God has kept his promises, that God has said some things, and that God is going to fulfill them. You know, one day we are going to rejoice greatly in the presence of God.
Amen.
I know right now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. One day we will know as we are known. One day we will see all the fulfillment of the promises of God. And don't you think that we're going to be happy when that day comes?
Amen.
Don't you think that we're going to look back and think about some of the doubts that we had and some of the fears that we struggled with? And don't you think we're going to say, well, I'm glad that I didn't let the fears and the doubts dissuade me from following Christ.
Amen.
Don't you think we're going to look back and say it really has been worth it to serve the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Don't you think there will be rejoicing? Some of you who don't even like singing right now might enjoy singing then. You might really get excited about all that the Lord has done for you. And there will be a celebration that's going to take place. As I think about the city of Jerusalem today, the city of Jerusalem has many afflictions and many burdens. There are many difficulties in that place, but that's not always going to be the case. Now, I also happen to know this from the scripture. The city of Jerusalem has some very deep waters to go through before it gets to that time of rejoicing. The city of Jerusalem is going to face great affliction, and the people of Israel are going to be afflicted greatly, because that is what will be required to bring their attention to the Messiah and for them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize who he is. So there's going to be some deep waters between here and the rejoicing. But we have the promise that there's going to be some rejoicing. You know, this gives hope and comfort and help to some of us on this side who are going through some difficulties to think about the rejoicing that'll be on the other side. Just a little while, and we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Just a little while, and we'll see the fulfillment of his promises. There's a musical celebration, but then he has this curious phrase at the end of verse 7, all my springs are in thee. And that idea of the spring is like when you think about a fountain that is bubbling over. This is, the psalmist seems to be expressing this thought. All of his hope is in the promises of God. All of his hope is that God will fulfill that which he has said he will do. Do you know, think for just a moment. What if our hope was in the here and now? What would that mean to us? We'd be pretty miserable, wouldn't we? we'd be pretty sad. And we'd get sadder and sadder the older we got. Because I asked somebody tonight how they were doing, and they said they were starting to feel old. Now, maybe that describes some of you. Some days I feel old. I think, you know, as we get farther down the road and as things start to fall apart, as we face difficulties and trials, if all we had was what we experience in this world, we wouldn't be very happy people at all. But see, our source, our spring of joy is found in a different place. When we think about what God has laid up in store for us, we can rejoice greatly in the goodness of God, can we not?
Amen.
We can be so excited for all that the Lord has done for us and all that the Lord will do one day for us. All my springs are in thee. For the psalmist, Jerusalem is referred to as a place of great joy, as the source of rejoicing, as the place that he was looking forward to. You know, our hope is not in this world. We're not seeking to put down roots in this place. Oh, I know. We're here for a while, so we might as well live and try to glorify God. But brethren, we're not staying here that long.
Amen.
This is not our eternal home. One day, we're going to be in a different place. And our source of joy, our source of hope, should not come from this world. But it should come from the promises that God has set aside for us. The psalmist is rejoicing in Psalm 87. He's exulting in the purpose and the plan of God. He's focused upon the promises of God. And as such, he's experiencing great joy. And in the same way, I believe that you and I, who have hope of a citizenship in the New Jerusalem because of the promises of God, we have something that is laid up in store for us. The book of Ephesians says it's an inheritance undefiled that does not pass away. There's something that God has set in store for us, that Jesus said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I'll come again and bring you or receive you unto myself. You think about that. And that ought to give us great joy that our hope is not in this world. Our source of rejoicing is not in what we can get in this place, but we're looking for something better. We're looking for a brighter day, a better city, and a different place. And we're thankful for all the promises that God has given to us pertaining to that. And those promises in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. But I wonder tonight, you see, it's not enough for you to say, well, my name's written there. God has to be the one to write the record of your citizenship. And in order for him to write the record of your citizenship, the Bible is very clear that you must come in repentance, believing on Jesus Christ, who alone can save. And you must come on God's terms, not just declaring that you're a citizen of that place, but you must come on God's terms for you to be written into that record. And the question that I want to ask you as we close tonight pertains to that. Is your name written in that record? Do you have a citizenship in the New Jerusalem because of all that Jesus has done for you? Do you have a source of joy beyond this life?